There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
There's this bit in the song where it goes, "Oh yes, indeed, it's fun time." Fun time.
Oh yes, indeed, it's fun time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. It is fun time, and it's happening right now. And the Ramblers are with me. Everybody all right?
Yeah, good.
Hang
yeah.
on, I haven't introduced you.
Oh, yeah.
That was
Don't
a trap.
Don't ask us questions, then.
Who are you?
Entrapment.
Who are you? I'll
well,
answer
no
that
knows.
Question.
Do your job.
Don't talk over the anchor, man. James or Jim is here.
Hi.
Peter's here.
Hello.
And Lukey's here.
All right.
Let's start off with a lovely, happy question. What was your first football heartache moment, gentlemen?
Marcus.
Yes.
You brought me
you
down.
Not bicycle kicks or something.
When my right foot hit a ball for the first time, probably.
It doesn't do what my brain tells
and
it.
And I'm
to
not
do.
Even going to go back to my left foot. It's too painful.
No.
I would say my really, mine is probably. World Cup 90 penalty shootout England-Germany or Darren Anderson leaving Portsmouth because I was sort of too young to understand that it's best for everyone that he moves on.
History willed you out. History yeah. saw that.
By the way, ever since then, as a Portsmouth fan, it has been mostly disappointment, but yeah. for the last couple of years.
Yeah, okay. James?
For me, I'm going to have to say it was Arsenal against Real Zaragoza the... Cup Winners' Cup when Naeem scored from about
from
a million yards out. Oh, just absolutely gutting. It was so... Because the ridiculous nature of it, it was so kind of clownish. It was like, we're just... It immediately felt like a laughing stock. It was ridiculous.
I laughed quite a lot.
I just couldn't understand what Seaman was... looking at, to be honest. Did he confuse it with the moon or something?
What was he ball? Hoping for?
It was very similar to when Peter Shilton let that free kick in and when it came off Paul Parker in the semi-final of the World Cup.
Yeah, but...
But he should have done better.
Yeah, but there was a deflection there.
True, but he still should have done better.
I mean, a friend of mine was actually at the game and he didn't find out until he was on the coach home that it was Naeem as well, which is extra little kick in the balls.
Was he not watching the game?
He didn't realise he scored.
Well, it could be Jermaine Pennant next season.
Peter.
Lobbing Seaman around. Someone had to do it.
It's Jermaine, by the way.
Have one of them.
The thing that depressed me the most was probably... It was World Cup 94, and it was Diana Ross missing...
That was a woeful miss.
No, it was Roberto Baggio hitting the...
Gutting, wasn't it? Yeah.
Put it over. I thought you were going to say Switzerland getting eliminated by Spain.
That was a painful moment for all of us. Yeah. Oh, thank you not to drag it up.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Mark Hottinger.
Well, I think World Cup 90, Gascoigne crying would be an obvious one. But another one of my football favourites was when Rangers made it to the semi-final of the European Cup, as it was then. And it was when the semi-finals had eight teams in them. Because you had two groups of four, and the winners would then go to the final. And Rangers were so close, and Marseille, and then it later turned out that they'd bribed CSKA in Moscow. But it was gutting to see Rangers just fell, and Ali McCoist was crying. And you don't want to see that.
Well...
Euro 96 was especially gutting as well. We could have won that.
I was a bit older then. I don't know if I agree with that, but I was old enough to appreciate a disappointment more than in World Cup 90, I think.
I remember before Euro 2004, there was sort of like a roundup of Euro 96, and I watched it with a friend of mine, and it was really exciting and really got you into sort of the feel that, like, yeah, there's a major tournament coming. But then seeing Southgate miss the penalty, even though we both knew what was coming, it was just gutting all over again.
You thought to yourself, hang on a minute, there's going to be another match played at Wembley in this tournament, and we're not going to be involved. That was shocking, wasn't it? Every England match was at Wembley. It was a bit kind of...
The worst thing about that game is, can you remember when... I think it might have happened in World Cup 90 as well, when Gazza slid on the far post, and he was like a whisker away.
Yeah, it never happened in 90. Waddle hit the post in 90.
Okay.
In the extra time.
Well, either that or Gazza's definitely done that twice for England, though.
It's just millimetres away, it looks like.
Dear. But anyway, let's move on to proceedings. Another group of people who are gutted about footballing matters are the LA Galaxy fans.
The Riot Squad!
Whoop, whoop!
Booing D-Beck.
Boo. Some weird banners going on in that one.
One of
them was like, is evil something you do or something you are? Like, all right.
And number 23, repent.
Yeah. and one of them just said, go home fraud.
Oh, that can be sort of ruled out for any situation.
Yeah.
Standing with Bernie Madoff 2 weeks beforehand.
We do not stand for fraud here in America.
Yeah, but I think that one's a fair banner. I think, you know, if you are a fraud, then go home. Actually, no, don't go home, because you can internet fraud.
Yeah,
so stay out, perhaps. Maybe.
Beckham wasn't happy. When he put that corner in, which led to a goal, he gave it the big one. Yeah. And then he went down and gave it the big one after the game.
Well, he said he was going to shake the bloke's hand. And
it didn't look like that from the video, did it?
No, it didn't look like that.
He let himself down there.
And everybody who witnessed it said it certainly wasn't the case as well.
He went up the crowd and with some sort of provocation, so to speak. Mm. Because at the end of the day, he's David Beckham, and the crowd are LA Galaxy fans. You know what I mean? he's probably got more right and more weight in the footballing world than any fan of LA Galaxy, presumably.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But most of their fans like Arnold Schwarzenegger and people like that.
Yeah. It seems weird that they even have passionate fans.
He was the one he was calling out.
I think that as well. I mean, I do understand their point of view, and it's by no means the worst treatment Beckham's ever had, but I think he probably just doesn't expect it there.
Yeah.
So it made it a bit more...
Probably had enough of getting that sort of crap off people.
Yeah. I think Beckham's finally sort of realised this is rubbish. Yeah. And don't you start.
Yeah,
all
yeah, exactly.
And especially as he's playing against the team that he's dying to play for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Leonardo sort of saying, yeah, we'll definitely have him back. And Beckham's like, ugh,
let
me go.
But it is his own fault.
It is absolutely his own fault. He should have waited.
Or his wife's.
No, it's his wife and Steve McLaren's fault, and we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
We're happy with that.
Yeah.
Another man who's slightly ticked off at the minute is Michael Owen, by the looks of things. He's come out and sort of defending himself in the press, saying that, you know, I wasn't that bad at Newcastle. I'm not that injury prone.
I can fly.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just gone mad.
That's what Newcastle do to you, Jim. Look at that
Owen.
Like over there.
But it's unlike Owen to come out and say all this kind of
stuff. It's true, he's a very conservative man.
The little lad's grown up. got a voice in his head now.
But he scored. He's already on the sheet for the United.
Twice, isn't he?
I do think
he'll Malaysia 11.
He only does it when he's on top.
Yeah, but he has got a point, though, Pete. He has got a point. And I don't know who he's railing against specifically, but it's probably the press. But he is right. It seems to be very one-dimensional, the press in this country, when it comes to football. If you're banging goals in and you're doing well, it's never no questions asked. Look at the whole Gascoigne thing. He was doing well. He was always a great footballer, so no one ever pulled him up until very late on in his career.
That's right.
The stuff he was doing. So Michael Owen has got a point. I'm tired of hearing about him. But we'll see how he... I mean, it'll be interesting to see how he gets on at United, you know?
Well, yeah, as I say, he's scored in the in recent friendlies.
Scored a winner, didn't he? Off the bench, I believe.
He did, yeah. He saved the blushes.
That's some strike. Oh, he came on the pitch. Okay, yeah.
It wouldn't have counted.
No, exactly.
But Cristiano Ronaldo's had his first game for Real Madrid. They beat Shamrock Rovers 1-0.
Did you see that game?
I saw that bits of it.
Was gutting as well.
He got a bit of a torrid time, as well, as he tends to do from other supporters who aren't his own.
Which is weird. You figure that people would have come to actually see him, but
it's quite a surreal thing, isn't it? Because Raul and Guti and all those sort of guys played, didn't they?
Raul was on the bench.
He came on, though, didn't he?
Yeah. Benzema looked he looked up for it.
He scored the winner, didn't he?
Benzema's really sharp, isn't he?
You said he scored a good goal, Joe.
It was a good goal. It was really well taken, to be fair.
I saw a couple of Ronaldo free kicks. I didn't see much of the game, though.
Yeah.
Free kicks weren't anything to write home about.
Real Madrid is just so ridiculous. I was watching the game with my flatmate, and she pointed out that they sound like a fucking Jackie Collins novel.
Yeah.
Raul, Gonzalo, Marcelo.
Yeah. Wayne.
Sergio.
I know he doesn't play for Real, but you said something reason to me. Look, you said Danny Guiza is the most Spanish man of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
He is. He's the most Spanish man to ever live.
Why is that?
Look at his head.
He looks like that.
His arms are chorizo. Bizarre.
It's good,
I love a bit of chorizo, me.
I do. Guizzo's arms, I call them.
A lovely little bit of chorizo.
I like a chorizo as well, for the record, while we're on the subject. But Guiza. I mean, say it. That's what you need to know. That's all the evidence you need.
Yeah, it's very true. Another Spanish side in another friendly. Seamless. Villarreal beat Nevada 27-0.
That's insane.
And it's pointless, James.
Yeah.
Why not when you get to 19-0, somebody go, right.
0-0, lads, come on.
It is fun.
No, but why not? Why not just kind of think, right, we're gonna score an overhead kick now. You know, what's the point in going up there? Put the keeper up front.
It's fun.
Should have done next goal wins. Who was it in a friendly recently who put a keeper on the pitch? It's Blackburn. Blackburn really? Put their sub keeper on the pitch in a friendly.
Why?
And I don't know.
Man City put David James on the pitch in a Premier League match.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, this guy, I can't remember what his name is now. He's their reserve keeper, and he went out. They put him out on the wing.
Tim Flowers
on the wing.
Did a couple of good touches.
Like
as well.
not up front where it headed a goal in or something.
No,
just on the wing.
Yeah.
Good.
That was quite strange. But I mean, yeah, the Villarreal result. I mean, in a way, you've got to respect their professionalism.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I think, you know, it is fun to play football, isn't it? That's why they're there.
It said Pires scored 2 goals in that game. Now, he's a forward-thinking player. Yeah. He should at least...
He's getting on a bit, though. He's too busy diving around.
Yeah. That isn't that noteworthy in a game where Villarreal have won 27-0.
Someone got 7, I can't remember who.
Why didn't they get a third hat-trick?
Exactly.
Off that. Exactly. Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a shame.
What's the most goals you've scored in the game?
Me?
Yeah.
50, me.
Yeah, 51.
No, you've in an
11-a-side. We're in a competitive 11-a-side. Yeah. 4.
That's good.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah,
yeah, but it's not exactly.
No, it's all right. Yeah, I'm not comparing. Seven. Yeah, don't worry.
Twice
as many as Pires.
Referees are meant to add 30 seconds to the game for every goal scored.
Are they?
So that's what, like 14 minutes.
It's a never-ending game.
Time.
That game finished yesterday. but your beloved Newcastle were in a couple of friendlies.
They had a massive ruck
against Huddersfield.
Not so friendlies.
Well, Chris Hughton's not. He's not bothered. caretaker boss. He said, "Well, it shows the players clear."
Beating people
which
up.
Which translates as I've got much bigger problems than that. Just let me go on with it.
At least it was one of the players that actually tried last season.
Habib Bey.
Monday,
Tuesday, Habib Bey.
Pre-season friendly and there will be a big punt. Against Huddersfield.
Maybe Huddersfield were laughing at their shocking Solero-style kit.
They were wearing that kit as well
I think our academy side wears that quite a lot as well. And they've won every match in it as well. So it might be a lucky shirt for us.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Because that's how it works. That's what I was going to say,
Are you going to get one, Pete?
No.
How many people have got them so far?
Three. Apparently, three people turned up, and they're already on 20% off.
Yeah, this is when they officially unveiled them, isn't it? Three Newcastle.
Pete, if we got Newcastle United to send you one, would you wear it in every photo shoot?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
You have to wear the full kit with shin pads. I told you the story the other day about the Crystal Palace game.
No.
Where I went with Pompey away to Palace once, and I was obviously in the way end, and I was sat next to my mate on the left. On the right hand side was this kid of about 16. And he's old enough to know better, by the way.
Yeah.
He had a full Pompey kit on, yeah? Shirt, shorts, socks, AstroTurf trainers. Yeah, and down his front, he had 2 mobile phones for shin pads.
Oh, my God.
Mobile phone?
It sounds as if... Because Selhurst Park isn't the best of grounds. It sounds like you were on the bench. It's kind of
exactly.
I mean, Portsmouth, this coming season, are only going to have about 13 registered players.
Well, we've got David Nugent, so that he can do it on his own.
Well, he counts as 5, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Him and Hayden Mullins.
Yeah,
that's all you need.
No, that's very true. It's very true. But the other Newcastle friendly, they were played Darlington, didn't they? They won 7-2. And Dean Windass representing his Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's got a penalty and one from open play as well. But let's not forget that Shaw Lamy will be repeated that particular.
Lamy got 2.
Feet, he got 2.
Did he?
Gutierrez got his first goal and it was a peach.
Think R&B superstar Shaw Lamy is likely to get more of a shout now.
So, Lamy Obi and Gutierrez scored. In the same game. Is this like something like a different dimension?
Yeah. It's taken Newcastle to get relegated for Ami Obi to find his level.
Yeah, yeah.
It's because he just refuses to leave.
Yeah. And he's also much older than he's supposed to be.
Yeah. Why is Gutierrez still there? They just can't
sell him.
He said he wants to leave.
The Huddersfield match, there was like representatives from 5 different clubs. Arsenal to Sheffield Wednesday.
Did his agent not come out and say that he's made inquiries on behalf of his client, in quotes, but no Premier League club has been forthcoming? Pompey will have him. We'll have anyone. We will have anyone.
Yeah, I know you will.
But they'd be looking... I don't know, yeah. You could offer like a penny and they'd take it just to get it off the wedge. But
Oh, they've got like 15 players over 50 grand a week, and maybe a couple less than that now. But one thing I was going to say, you know the guy you were telling me about, the new Shola Ramiobi, Noel Ranger?
Yeah,
I saw him in a photo shoot the other day on the internet, and he's got a dollar tattoo on his hand.
Oh dear!
On his hand, he's got a massive tattoo of a dollar.
He's got like a pound sign shaved into his hair.
He loves currency.
Okay, yeah.
Very, very good player. He scored 4 in 4 for England. He scored 16 in 16 for Newcastle under 19s or whatever.
He sounds like he should be working on the safari.
Under 19s are off to Ukraine.
Are they?
For the tournament, yeah.
I think, yeah, Niall Ranger, unconfirmed reports that he's got a Greek drachma tattooed into on his back.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's out of date, though.
And Polish zloty shaved into the back of his head.
Oh, right.
He loves currency, yeah.
That's very true. John Terry looks as though he's perhaps not going to go to Man City now.
Yeah, but I made a twat out of myself, haven't I? Because I was saying he was going to go.
No, well, you never said it. You actually were a bit more level-headed about the whole situation, Luke, on the last time. And you were saying that you're not surprised that...
I was playing a bit of devil's advocate because also it's not as much of a no-brainer as what everyone was saying. That's all I'm saying.
Well, even Frank Lampard said it wasn't a no-brainer.
Well, I mean, it's still
he didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. He didn't come out and... Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's probably used it as a bit of leverage to get himself a better deal, isn't he?
I would have thought so. But I think that what I was going to say was, like, he's his last chance to get a big contract, isn't it?
Mm.
So I don't know whether he was using it to get to sort of leverage a new contract. Maybe if you're at the same club for, like, 10 years or whatever it is, maybe you want a new challenge or you want to do something different.
Second and also driving up to the stadium every Saturday.
And also the reason... Because
to get the train.
Exactly. We were talking about this the other day, all of us, I remember, and it was like, why is he signing Terry for such amount of money when he could sign, like, Carvalho instead or something? But it's obviously because he's got a lot of big personalities at City, so Terry would really galvanise those.
Mm. Terry would be club captain straight away.
And he's England captain, so it's a massive coup as well. Yeah. People would sit up and take notice a lot more, wouldn't they?
Definitely.
Shirt sales, it would give them more international...
But John, I do think that John Terry is a good player, but he's one of those defenders who's good when he's got another good defender alongside him. Sort of like, so when he plays for England, he has Ferdinand, who's a great ball player in the half. When he's at Chelsea, he has Carvalho, who's a fantastic defender.
Yeah, it was the same with Gannas for a long time as well.
It was. But if he goes to City...
Richard Dunn?
Mm. Michael Richards?
Richard Dunn had a bad season last season, but...
He's decent.
He is a good player.
If by decent, you mean fat and slow. I can agree with you.
You're decent as well.
Thanks.
Adebayor's definitely gone there.
He's gone.
James Goodriddens?
He's got an obsession with currency as well.
And
crap celebrations.
There's a sort of deafening silence from the Arsenal fans about him leaving. No one really cares. Just as long as Wenger actually replaces
which
him.
Which he won't.
Saying all these things about, I don't think we need to replace him, I'll see how the pre-season goes, see if we need anyone. It's like, how is having one less striker who scored 16 goals last season going to not be a step backwards?
But Wenger thinks that he signed Eduardo. Doesn't he, or something? He suddenly got Eduardo and Ruzicki
back, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Ruzicki's made of ham, as we've discussed before.
Nasri's made of wafer.
Yeah, Nasri's injured now, isn't he?
Yeah, and what's his name's made of chorizo.
Exactly. I think Danny Guitha would be the ideal replacement.
I think Huntelaar would be.
Huntelaar would be good as well.
Imagine if they got Huntelaar, that'd be fantastic.
There's also, they've also been linked with Gignac, I think his name is, the French player.
Oh, Chamac.
No, that's a different.
Oh, sorry, is that different player?
Yeah,
okay.
But I mean, I really do think he needs to get a striker, and obviously getting fucking defensive midfielder or sort of kind of all action midfielder is what he really, really needs.
Just players.
Absolutely.
Anywhere up, you're fine at left back. Don't get a left back anywhere else on the pitch.
I mean, because Cesc Fabregas has got too much to do. It hinders his natural game having to sort of drop back into midfield and help out like he has. He just needs someone behind him.
Yeah, I just think these days when you're competing on so many different fronts and look at Manchester United, they've signed Owen. That was out of left field, but it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, totally.
And because it's no risk, but when they want to compete and try and defend the league and retain the Carling Cup and try and win the FA Cup and get one stage further in the Champions League, they need to compete on all these levels.
Definitely.
You're looking at 75 games next season.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's obviously no money at Arsenal for whatever reason. Even though the board said he had 70 million to spend in January, it's obviously just a lie.
Mm.
Just
do you reckon
bizarre.
He means on everything? That's everything.
Yeah.
Bus fare.
I think.
But even if there was loads of money though, they say, look, we've got all this. I didn't see it.
Yeah, good.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think Wenger might go in for Martins, actually. He's always been a quite a vocal fan of Martins, but it seems like the right time to probably do it, I guess.
How old is Martins?
53, I think.
Talk of Sebastian Bessong as well, which would be a good sign.
He's a good player. He's a good player.
For me, the big transfer story of recent footballing press is Samuel Eto'o leaving Barcelona, or allegedly leaving. He might well have gone by the time you hear this, but talking of swapping Eto'o for Ibrahimovic, plus 35 or 45 million euros somewhere in between there, and Chleb for a season-long loan.
Mental.
That Inter must be cracking up. Jose can't believe his luck.
No,
yeah, it's just,
that's an outrage.
Samuel Eto'o is the best striker in the world.
Agreed.
Just he's a better player than,
but I'll take it.
Ibrahimovic.
Who do you think is?
Who do I think is the best striker in the world? What, out and out striker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fernando Torres.
Well, okay, but
I disagree with that.
Oh, fair enough. That's what I was all about, James.
Samueletto is one of the best strikers in the world.
Oh, no doubt about it. He's a fantastic footballer. There's no doubt about that.
But he is such a big part of that Barcelona front three. The way he presses, you know, because he was a big part of that pressing. You could see when Ronaldinho and Deco played there. He used to get fed up. People used to think he was a bit arrogant at times. He used to throw his arms up in the air. It's because they were a bit lazy.
Yeah,
you know, and he's so. There must be a personality clash, maybe.
Because Guardiola has actually said, I think it's time Sammy moved on.
Yeah, he does. There must be some kind of...
Something's gone on there.
Yeah.
Eto strikes me as, at the moment, or sort of certainly sort of towards the back end of last season, when he was having a good time on the field, obviously, but I think he feels a little bit put out. They tried to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And that he almost went, but no, it didn't really happen.
But, I mean, after this season, it is such a magical team that they've put together. Yeah. It's going to be such a shame to see that broken up.
That front three is one of the best forward lines in recent years.
It'd be amazing to see what they could do if they stayed together for another season. That'd be brilliant.
I mean, obviously, Ibrahimovic is a brilliant player. Let's not sort of undervalue
him. He's very different, though.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to press from the front in that same way.
No. Very different. But, I mean, Guardiola, you would imagine he knows what he's doing. You know, he's no fool.
Barcelona aren't short of cash. And Ibrahimovic, for my money, I know that he's got his critics and stuff. For my money, he could be the world's best player. So if he's top scorer in Serie A last season, okay, at European level, he's not really done it that well. But I don't actually think Inter's team, or their sort of squad, can realistically compete in the Champions League. So he's not got an awful lot of support, especially going forward. I remember when they got knocked out of the Champions League, wasn't he playing up front with Balotelli? You know, who's a young...
Yeah. Adriano.
Well, yeah.
But obviously he's moved on.
Yeah, so... I just think that if they're going to sign someone, Barcelona, if money's not really an option, which it isn't for Barcelona, let's be honest, then Ibrahimovic is a magnificent signing.
Plus 45 million, though, is crazy.
And clever season.
Who else can they get, though, who would be a replacement for Eto? A forward player?
Well, Torres.
Yeah. But he wouldn't go, would he?
Well, no. But I'm just saying that I think Eto plus Ibrahimovic, Eto for Ibrahimovic, reasonably, I think, a straight swap. Okay, Barcelona are the ones instigating it, so they're going to have to put up a bit of money, but not that much.
That's surely enough money to get him in the first place.
Well, you would have thought so. And then Kleb on a season loan.
Yeah. They've signed Maxwell, haven't they, as well?
Maxwell's a really good player as well.
If Barca stack it next season, would you sort of pinpoint that as being a real turning point?
Because Eto is an absolute sort of guarantee of goals in big games. I mean, he scored in two Champions League finals. And Ibrahimovic does have this sort of big game bottler label, which isn't fair, but you know, it's.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
There's something there.
I think that Ibrahimovic needs to play for a truly big club on a truly big stage. That's no disrespect.
And have you mentioned that to him?
I will the next time I see him, but there's no disrespect to Ajax and Inter, but they're not realistically going to win the Champions League. Not at the moment.
I wouldn't put Inter in the same bracket as Ajax.
Inter in Europe, they've just.
Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
But Ajax were a strong team in 1995. They're not a strong team now.
Yeah, but he was there in 1995.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay,
Ibrahimovic needs to, before everyone gives him all this sort of shit about being sort of big game bottom and this sort of stuff, I'm not saying you've got to say that, but I think it's a fair, people do say it, so it's a fair thing to say.
They do.
But I just think that he would be one of those players who could really flourish with great players around him. And now you can say that about any good player. You know, if Lionel Messi, who is, for my money, the best footballer in the world, would he be as the best footballer in the world at Inter? No. So you take my point. It does mean the players around him, and maybe they have to adapt their system slightly, but it means the players around him will be so much better, so he could probably flourish a lot more. Yeah. You know? And it is a difficult one, because, like, just to pick up on what Pete was saying, whatever Barcelona do next season, it's very likely to be a failure if you compare it to the season they've just had.
Well, I mean, looking at, obviously, the team building that Real Madrid have done, it's fascinating now. I think it swings it kind of in their favour, and if you sort of go hysterical and Spanish press.
Well, another Spanish side who have been building their team are Real Zaragoza. They've got Jermaine Pennant.
Yeah.
Well done to Jermaine, another Englishman abroad.
Yeah.
This podcast is being listened to.
It is, yeah. It is, yeah. If we ever stop doing this, I'll just be worried we won't no longer be influencing the game. That's why.
Thank you, Tim. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
No, brilliant. I'm really pleased, and he's sounded really upbeat on the interview. He's looking forward to getting stuck into the culture as well as obviously the football. I think it's a fantastic move. You know, Zaragoza newly promoted, they're a big side. You know, they shouldn't have been relegated. You know, a club that size, and so they're back. Mm. They're trying to build. They've got him.
Spanish league's quite open as well.
Yes,
they could realistically do well.
Yeah.
It's weird how it all goes in the cycle, like Platt and Gascoigne and stuff, and like 10 years ago, and it's sort of coming round again.
Well, hopefully.
The league isn't possibly as strong as it was a couple of years ago and stuff, and people...
It's very cyclical.
It's good that we've got players going out abroad that aren't, like, megastars. Do you know what I mean? I think that's really, really healthy. I mean, look at a player like Arteta. Obviously, he doesn't get in the Spanish side, and it's really, really helped his career to go abroad. And hopefully, the same will happen.
Oh, I feel sorry for Arteta because he's a great player. He's not going to get in that Spanish.
But the trouble is, though, they're so blessed with midfield. Yeah, really. You can't blame that.
No, but fair play to Pinnock. It'd be interesting to see how he gets on. I mean, the cynic in me would say that there's a lot of tax reasons why he's gone there, but I'm not going to have a pop at
me included.
Yeah, it's not a sort of kind of a pop at him when we've sort of been asking because he turn down Real.
Pat was supposedly.
Madrid, yeah, or something. Yeah, so at least he's sort of seen the
end. He turned down Athletic Madrid.
Atletico Madrid was it?
No, but he also did turn down Real Madrid in January, didn't he?
Okay.
Crazy.
Yeah, but I think that he's never going to get a game much for Real.
Julian Faubert went to Real Madrid. That was a strange
He fell asleep on the bench, didn't he, in one of their games?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's how relaxed he was.
That's how sure he was wasn't going to get a game. Yeah. Australia's favourite son had a trial at Blackburn recently. I refer to Christian Vieri, of course. He didn't get in, but I just found that fascinating.
Well, I don't think he didn't get in. I think it's he just started against it.
Oh, did he?
He went
on 36.
I'm sure they was going to offer him a contract of some description, but he went on holiday to Sardinia instead.
which we'd all do.
Let's make it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, didn't you say something about his neck?
He'll get neck ache.
Yeah, from the long
ball. Those balls there. Yeah,
I loved the quote from Stephen Warnock when he said he was talking about Vieri in training. He said he's a very strong player and very awkward to play against. He could be a good addition. Actually, I never thought I'd see the day where a Blackburn Rovers player would be referring to Christian Vieri as a possible good addition.
Yeah. Christian Vieri at Inter in his heyday, in his pomp, was probably one of the most devastating strikers I've ever seen.
He was the most expensive player in the world at one point.
He was 36 million or something like that.
It
was a pittance.
He's played for a lot of teams in Italy, hasn't he? I know that he had a bit of a sort of torrid spell. I mean, it's not torrid because he's old now. He's like 36, isn't he? But he was at Atalanta, I think, most recently.
Was he at Fiorentina as well?
He's done all of them. He's played for so many Italian sides. He really has.
He played for Atletico Madrid.
Did he?
Yeah, he played out in Spain, yeah.
He did, yeah. Yeah. I think you're right there, yeah. But I mean, the news report I read, and sorry to sort of go against what you're saying, I'm pretty sure he was going to be offered something. He decided against it, and now he thinks he may retire.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. Yeah. Come to think of it, yeah. That's kind of that.
Sven?
A brief mention of Maradona to Pompey. Just ridiculousness of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Luke, a very famous man in the world of football, has been linked to Portsmouth of late. Diego Armando Maradona.
Yeah. Never going to happen.
No, I never thought it would even be mentioned.
Someone just made it up. Yeah. Haven't they? That's that Arabian business website where they made up loads of stuff about City, didn't they?
He's going to be their... what was it now? Their world...
Their ambassador or something.
Around the world. He's not going to travel far. Was he going to travel to Southampton and go... Nah.
Exactly. Entertain it for like 1 second, which you shouldn't. You know, what has Maradona even done since he retired as a footballer?
Exactly.
What's he going to bring? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I can understand him doing that at Boca, where he's like his club he supports and where he played. Yeah. What relevance has he got? People just won't believe him.
And he is currently the Argentine manager.
Exactly.
Although he probably gets sacked from that.
What do you do as an ambassador for Pompey?
Didn't the news story say he's going to persuade David Villa and Kun Aguero to come to Pompey? That's like going to be his first sort of remit.
Why would you need them when, as you pointed out earlier, you've got the Nuge?
The Nuge, yeah. Nuge!
I mean, Kun Aguero could probably fit in around.
They get on well, him and the Nuge.
Yeah. Both good-looking lads as well.
On the town, exposing themselves on mobile phones.
I think the idea, perhaps, is Maradona would just go on some world tour of Everybody Loves Me, and at the end he would go...
In a Pompey shirt.
Yeah, basically. Or at the end he would just go, buy a Pompey shirt. Yeah, cheers.
Yeah.
And my book.
Yeah.
You know, so...
It's a silly piece of news, isn't it?
Very silly piece of news.
We've got Paul Hart as manager. God, no disrespect to Paul Hart, but come on now.
Do you not think he could work with him?
I think there might be a bit of...
I'll tell you what, though. You wouldn't have thought Sven would have gone to Notts County now, would you?
No.
He only bloody has, though, isn't he?
He has, you see.
Apparently, isn't Notts County next door to a Hooters bar?
Yeah, the only Hooters in England.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of women in Nottingham for him.
Do you think he's demanded a harem in his contract?
Yeah. If he's got any sense about him, he would, James. You know, something we can all learn from.
Luke wants a harem if we ever get popular. Yeah. Is that it?
Of ladies.
Let's get that stipulation in.
Of ladies.
Should I say, I was thinking that, when he's getting paid 40 grand a week, Sven, then that is a good lot of money. But
he's even
so, right, he could earn more than that somewhere else, surely.
Yeah.
That is a week's a footballer's wage.
He's a director of football, isn't he? If there's one thing Sven likes more than a big lump sum of cash, it's not having a lot to do.
So. Well, I think that's what we all share, James. let's not be churlish.
No, let's be churlish.
Okay. He's a money grabbing wanker. There you go.
No, I like Sven.
I do as well. I can't hate him. He doesn't age either.
Hang on, no. I can't hate him. Why
it's Mr. Burns.
Because he's just funny, isn't he?
No, he can't. Excellent. He's lovely.
Yeah.
Isn't he? He's a lovely little lad.
He's a lovely little ex-England manager.
Top little lad. Pete, what do you think about him?
I think he's tall.
Yeah, it's good.
I was watching
That's not an opinion, Pete.
I was watching a celebrity football match at West Ham's ground once, and sat next to me was a Sven impersonator. He's going to be over the moon, isn't he?
Yeah.
More back work. In business.
Work
more
again.
Sven will probably get him to do his job.
It's going to actually be quite a tough job for Eriksen, because in League Two, you know, it's not as
silly.
Straightforward.
It's silly, isn't it?
But he compared it to, he said that he started off in lower league Swedish football.
Yeah, but that was when he was only just starting out. He's one of those players, one of those managers where
he did play lower leagues, which
he did. But he's not going to be a sort of manager who can.
No,
he's not a Harry Redknapp.
No,
bargain basement sort of Allardyce style manager.
No, yeah.
Basically they're just trying to use his influence, aren't they? Just hoping players.
Yeah, of course, it'll raise the profile of the club, won't it?
He said it's the biggest challenge he's ever had in football.
Oh, I mean, how can that be bigger than the England job?
It's crazy thinking all these clubs that are getting just pumped full of cash. Like, in 10 years, the top four could be made up of Man United, Man City, Notts County and QPR.
Yeah. I'd like to see that.
Oh, yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah. I salute our new overlords.
The under-17 World Cup will be played in Nigeria. Nigeria have been accused many times of age cheating. But they've been very successful. I think it's because they've been very successful at international age group tournaments.
I thought you said age cheating, man.
Sorry?
I thought you said age cheating.
Age. A-G-E.
Okay, sorry.
I mean, technically, it's death cheating, isn't it? You're kind of knocking a few years off you.
But they're going to bring in MRI bone scans to test their ages. So
I'll give Carney one.
Give him two.
Yeah. I'd love to see that.
So, yeah, no, they're bringing it in.
I think good.
I mean, this is the Nigerian FA, isn't it? It's not FIFA getting involved.
Well, I think FIFA might have shepherded them
in that
direction.
Because the thing is, if you think about it, if like someone like Kanu's lying a little bit back...
How old do you think Kanu is then?
About 40. He's 40.
You being serious?
Yeah.
Do you really think he's 40?
Yeah. I think he's at least 38.
What's he claiming?
He can't even move.
What's he claiming? How old
he says he's like 32.
He doesn't need to move.
He is. I think he's 40. And one of the things I wanted to point out is that if Kanu just lies about his age.
Yeah.
No one's really affected by it apart from him. He just gets a bit more money.
I think Kanu would like to know too.
Yeah. But here, obviously, when you've got certain age limits on players and professionals,
when
you aren't actually eligible to play in a tournament when you're over age or whatever, then it's obviously more important. And if they're going to do that, that's obviously not right. And it's from what I've read about the story, it's something they've done voluntarily, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, no, I think so, but I think it's because they've been accused so many times. I think that they've been cornered into this and they've kind of gone, well, all right, we'll do this then to prove you all wrong.
But there's basically no way...
But you're right, Kanu is...
There's no way on earth, right? Kanu is 3 years older than me.
Well,
he is 6'6". He's going to take a toll on
his knees.
They
don't carry on growing until you die.
His birthday's coming up, so he'll be a year older.
Okay, so
does that kind of settle
three and a half years older than me.
Yeah.
He's off his head.
I think it sets an ugly precedent, to be honest.
He's not president.
I was going to say. But
he would be a particularly ugly president.
Interestingly enough, the vice president of Nigeria is called Good Luck Jonathan. Get him in charge.
Advice and a name. Nice. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well done to him.
My favourite African name is Dr. Congo. It's a great name for a country.
Yeah.
Is he a real doctor? My lords, ladies and gentlemen, emails are served.
And that's a popular decision round here.
I'm going first.
Okay, far away.
This is from Phil Brady.
Hello.
Well, he hasn't said hello yet. Hello, Ramblers.
Hello.
Hello.
Phil, how you doing?
Sorry, I jumped the gun.
I just wanted to write in and say a quick thank you.
That's okay.
A couple of months ago, you mentioned on your show how most people in Ireland don't support any of their local clubs and generally follow English teams. This is true. The turnout for most Irish clubs is fairly poor and media coverage is minimal. However, what you said struck a chord with me, so I decided to go and see my local club, Bohemians FC.
Good lad.
They're the current Irish League and Cup champions. Glory Hunter.
Why not?
I've never been before, and since my first match, I've become a diehard fan. I've been to every game since, home and away, and I love it.
Brilliant.
That's superb.
Add on, you Phil.
In addition to that, Bohemians have just drawn 1-1 away against Red Bull Salzburg of Austria in the Champions League qualifiers, and I'm even getting a taste of European football. So thanks for making the point that people should support a local team, because it's done me the world of good. And I've not even made that up. That's a real email. Phil Brady.
Good on you.
Thank you very much, Phil.
You're not on the team when that's all the fame, but you get a round of applause.
Hey, well done.
We're influencing football.
Yeah. On it, whatever way you look at it. Football and chat, everybody loves it.
The football ramble saved the Irish leagues.
Yeah. Officially. Get a press release done. Quick.
Oi, and I'd like to say that's an away goal.
It is, yeah. Well, it's
good point. Not a point. It's a good result.
Yeah. I feel sorry for anybody who supports Red Bull Salzburg. Yeah. What a terrible
name. Red Bull New York as well, isn't it? There's loads of Red Bull.
Apparently, it was Red Bull New York, but they changed it because Americans don't like that. They changed it to the New York Red Bulls. That's true.
I tell you what, old Julian Flaubert, he wouldn't fall asleep with the old Red Bulls.
He wouldn't know.
Bench, would he?
Absolutely not.
I reckon he would.
Well, James, we can but speculate.
One in the eye for Marcus.
Sleepy
there.
Man.
Who's
Peter,
next, Pete?
Peter, hit me.
I'll do one then. It's a time of year again. We've hit July. The new kits are out.
Towards the end of it, you might say.
Stuart Loosley's a little bit annoyed about it. He says, "Ramble boys, the new West Ham kit was revealed today." That was Monday. "And I cried. It's flipping hideous. Yeah. I'm so disappointed. Why have I wasted my money on this overpriced piece of shit? What's more, I've ordered it with the name Ashton and a number 9 on the back. And apparently, he's off to store."
Are you 12?
He's hoisted by his own petard there, isn't he?
I think I've got more questions for him than he has for us.
Yeah. "Do West Ham never get any luck? I do hope we're not turning into the Claret and Blue 2 Army. Much love, Stuart."
This is nothing to do with the luck of West Ham. This is to do with you making a series of really bad decisions. Like, buy a kit you don't like, modelled by Ray Winston, judging by the picture, "I'm here to kill your monster." Two, you've got your name on the back of your shirt when you're presumably over the age of 10, so that's a cardinal sin. And three, you support West Ham, but we'll dust over that for now.
"I'm here to kill your club."
Are you having a fucking bubble giraffe?
I don't think the kit's that bad. I
quite like it. It's a little bit Sunday league. I like it.
That is a backhanded compliment ever.
No. It's just something a bit earthy about it. It's like wearing a string vest. Lovely.
Salt of the earth,
mate. Could they not get Rabsy Nisbet to bottle it? They got Ray Winston.
"We won the World Cup and now we're so far out of our fucking manner, it's untrue."
Hey, Ian, we're related to the craze.
Let's all calm down.
Ian from Lancaster County in the US of A on the emails also mentioned another awful new kit, the Getafe.
Oh, yeah, the Burger King one.
Yeah. The Burger King one, yeah.
You pull the shirt over your head and it's got a Burger King on it.
Yeah, it's got the picture of the Burger King, isn't it? That will be over your face.
I wasn't aware that there was an actual Burger King.
Oh, there is.
Do you reckon the youth team have got the Burger Prince? On there?
But I was just going to say, if you've got a large shirt and you're a little bit smaller than the average largesse. It kind of, you tuck it in, that's around your crotch area,
isn't it?
Willy,
isn't it? Yeah, it's a face thing, Willie.
Face thing, Willie. And let's not forget the new Chelsea strip, away strip as well. The blue one.
What?
Yeah, the blue away kit.
The blue away kit. What shall we put? I mean, why didn't they go for yellow and white?
It could be anything but blue.
Spurs brought out 7 kits again this season. They seem to bring loads out.
That's the only competition they'll win, isn't it?
They've got more kits than defenders.
Yeah.
Each defender can wear a different one.
We've slagged off pretty much every club in London. Arsenal,
wankers. Go on, Jimbo. I think your email next.
Leighton Orient are incompetent.
Perfidious Albion, my one. Rubbish.
There you go. Don't put them down, Pete. James, hit me.
Got another have a email. Go at chess.
I was never having a go at chess. Stop saying I was having a go at chess because I wasn't having a go at chess.
You were.
Drafts.
This is an email from a guy called Napoleon Solo. Doubt it's his real name, but we'll let
fucking
that fly.
Good name. I'll tell you what. But over the moon, if that's my name.
Oh, Napsor. Yeah.
I think it's named after an At The Driving song, though, James. Popular hardcore band at the turn of the century.
Yes,
they were hardcore.
Turn of the century.
They were awesome. I saw them. Saw their last ever gig, actually. But moving on.
Well done.
Hello, Ramblers. I was delighted to see Eusebio make it into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame, mainly because I can confirm he is an absolute gentleman.
Oh, that's good
in
to
an
hear.
Earlier life, I was a sports reporter on the Liverpool Daily Post when Wayne Rooney was cutting a swathe through Euro 2004.
Oh, yeah.
In reaction to that, I called in some favours, mainly from Mark Lawrenson, a columnist on the paper, and got a 10-minute phone interview with a great man, which is obviously Eusebio, not Loro.
How'd you get into a position where Mark Lawrenson owes you a favour? That's horrible. Know where I want to be.
Come my thick hair.
Yeah, chase me.
Even though I was a regional newspaper journalist from England, 45 minutes later, Eusebio and I were still chatting. He answered all my no doubt inane questions with good grace, proper answers too, and he was delighted when I said I was from Liverpool, as he had fond memories of playing at Goodison Park in the 1966 World Cup.
Yeah,
all in all,
yeah,
a proper gent and a true legend.
I bloody love Eusebio.
That's one of, yeah. Actually, a friend of mine told me a little story about Eusebio. Well, it's more about his mate, actually, but it involves Eusebio. Mm. And his friend Steve, for some reason or other, he can't work this out, and nobody can, especially not Steve. People take an instant disliking to him. He doesn't look like a nasty piece of work. He doesn't sound like one. He isn't one. He's a nice bloke. But for some reason, there's this aura about him. People don't like him. When he goes out of an evening, people start on him and everything. And he was at England v Portugal at Wembley when it was 3-0, and Shearer scored that absolute peach. And Eusebio was given autographs, and he was signing everyone's. He was going along the line, signing everybody's. And Steve was there trying to get an autograph. And he went up, and Eusebio was signing. And he went, "Oh, Eusebio, can I have an autograph?" And Eusebio just went, "No!"
So he's an excellent judge of character as well.
Well, it would appear.
That's amazing.
It would appear.
Speaking of Mark Lawrenson, check this out.
"Remind this fella, don't catch my wages, because he can't. He's absolutely hopeless. What a mistake."
What
a bizarre quote.
Yeah, what
from
does
Pro
that actually
Evolution
say?
Soccer. Well, he says, "Don't catch my wages."
Don't catch my wages.
Don't throw them
Pro
out.
Evo's I've got been... some mental commentary on it. There's one bit I can never work out what it actually says. Where John Champion goes, "Header or two." It sounds like it's saying "header etu," but it's not because it does it for all
header
all
or
sorts
two
of players.
Or is he saying "header at two"?
Yeah. Christ knows. If anyone knows, let us know.
This is going for a header at 2 o'clock. Header at two. Got an appointment for a header. Right, that's just mental. That Mark Lawrenson thing. Do you remember that Mark Lawrenson thing where he got caught on camera?
Giving it a big end
down the phone. Tell that bloke to come down here to see me tomorrow with all his medals and his trophies.
Yeah.
And I'll bring mine in a massive bloody great suitcase.
And I've got one, you know.
Oh, dear.
The attack is doing their bit, but can the defence stay strong?
God.
That's the question.
Yeah. Who can answer that?
Well, we don't have time this week.
Is it time for funny stories?
It might be.
It is.
It's the funny stories.
That's good. I'll go first again.
Oh, will you?
It worked.
Hang on a minute. Luke's going to go first.
Pleasure. I'm going to take you all, close your eyes.
Yep.
I'm going to take you to another place.
Yep.
A place on a different continent in the southern hemisphere in South America called Bolivia.
Ooh.
I've been there.
High
and
up.
If I may, chaps, an unlikely sight in Bolivian football as Aurora Cochabamba's manager, Julio Cesar Boldavieso, allowed his 12-year-old son to make his debut in a league game. Now, you've probably all seen this, but I think it's very interesting. I think it's something we should talk about. So, Cochabamba were 1-0 down against La Paz when Boldavieso brought on his young son, Maurizio. The youngster wasn't well-received and was immediately mowed down by an opponent. So he was just reduced straight away.
That's
I saw the highlights.
Ridiculous.
After receiving treatment, however, Maurizio returned to the pitch with an ovation from the fans, and although he couldn't turn around the result, he does become the youngest player ever to make his debut in South American soccer. He turns 13, I think, this week, I think. He's quite a big lad, and he was wearing number 10 as well, which is absolutely massive time.
I just don't
he's wearing number 10 at the age of 12.
To even be on the bench. I mean, presumably, A, he was on the bench, B, he was registered.
I know
it's
I'm...
It's bizarre.
I'm nepotism. Assuming a lot, just, that, you know, in thinking that there even are rules in South American football. But surely, you just can't play a 12-year-old player.
I remember Portsmouth, when Andy Orford made his debut for Portsmouth, I think he was 15. And I think he was on schoolboy forms, but I think he could play. He was registered with the club and stuff.
That is, you know, we've all played Sunday football, picking manager's son. That is just the nth degree.
imagine if your dad was a manager of, like, United. You'd get the
but
game.
After he got reduced, he did try and slap one of the players. He did.
Oh yeah, it kicked off, didn't he? Yeah. You seen it on YouTube?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, yeah.
But what is the
got some balls about him then?
Why reduce him as soon as he comes on? How dare you be half my age? But the, you know,
it's a bit of an ethical problem, isn't it? Because he's obviously he's man enough to play. His manager, surely, if it's his dad, on one hand he's being nepotistic, he could argue, but at the same time,
you could argue that.
But at the same time, he's still putting his son potentially in danger. Yeah. And if he's a good player with a lot of potential, he doesn't want to see his leg broken by a big actual man.
Yeah, but as James said, we are talking about Bolivian football. There are no rules in Bolivia. There's a place in Bolivia where you can go, and it's near one of the mining towns, and you can buy the only two products this place sells are dynamite and 100% booze.
Why? What do they think is going to happen?
Pure alcohol.
One thing is going to lead to accidents with the other.
I can't see a problem
with this. I know. Why Stella? Sure. You know why go for the whole hog there?
It didn't, in the YouTube clip, it didn't look like he affected the game in a positive or negative way, but then the level of football didn't look that high, to be honest. It was a
But La Paz is the capital of the Bolivia.
Yeah.
It is. Well, the unofficial Sucre is really the capital. Yeah. James, I believe you've got one.
Right? Listen to this. Coventry City striker Freddie Eastwood has been ordered to pay more than £1,500 after rubbish belonging to him was found dumped in a lane. Eastwood appeared before Stafford magistrates after rubbish including carpets, prams and shoe boxes was dumped in Red Lane, Gospel End, Sedgley. The letter was traced to Eastwood by South Staffordshire District Council officers who found electricity bills and bank statements addressed to the footballer among the refuse.
How many prams does one man need? Why is that prams plural?
And why isn't he filing those bank statements?
And why isn't he filing those prams?
Shoe boxes. Freddie Eastwood. Apparently, just some bloke turned up in a van, didn't he, and offered him, if you give me 125 quid, I'll get rid of your rubbish for you. So, yeah, all right.
Mental.
Do you think that's how life works?
Apparently.
I don't get it. Just go down to the dump and get
whatever happened to the age-old father and son tradition of going to the tip?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Well, it's gone.
Or having a bin.
Yeah.
It's gone. That's
strange.
He would usually have just started a fire, I imagine.
Yeah. Burn it.
Yeah.
Pete, you have the final one.
Well, I'm taking you from Coventry or Bolivia to the J League. Japan is where
how international
league...
are we to that? Wow, that's amazing.
Well international.
Oh la la. The president of the Japan Football Association, the JFA, for you...
acronym fans.
Not a proper acronym, actually.
No,
a proper
not.
Acronym has to make another word. Mm. So,
yeah, that does.
Jaffa. Pedantry fans.
Either way, the president, Motowaki Inoaki, has slammed the country's J League as boring. He says that he's obtained data showing that Brazilian soccer players shoot 60 times more often than their Japanese counterparts.
Where has he obtained this data?
Well, he said he was
informed. Did someone just pull up in a van?
He said he was
I've got some stats for you. Do you want your rubbish burned?
It was Eastwood.
He said he was informed by the Brazilian FA that players in that country have taken around 300,000 shots at goal before turning professional.
How can you possibly monitor
what?
That?
What happens if they're a defender? Surely a defender's a strong.
No, he's comparing Brazilian and Japanese players.
Well, he said here in Japan it's only about 5,000. That's 60 times less. At a young age, players aren't used to shooting. That's why the J League is boring. There are not enough shots on goal.
That's the only. It's his own FA saying that as well. He's after Sepp Blatter's job.
Well, he's going to get it.
He's got the mental part tied down.
Yeah, he seems to have the right personality.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure I even believe in Sepp Blatter.
Yeah.
But this, the president of the JFA did say last month that Japan could reach the semi-finals of next year's World Cup. It beggars belief. What has been changed?
Has he just worked out how the competition works?
Oh, hang on, wait.
Yeah.
Feasibly, we could go all the way. They don't shoot, though, apparently.
Yeah. Well, that's why they got that Brazilian guy to play for them.
Yeah, exactly. There's loads of Brazilians in Japan.
Is it Santos, his name?
Yeah, he actually plays for Japan.
Yeah, he does.
They need to bring an ince, really, don't they?
Yeah.
This piece of paper.
Yeah. I thought you meant to play an anchoring midfield role. Being lethal with his shot.
Beyond him now. I saw him play for Wolves ince towards, let's say, in the twilight of his career. And he was unmitigated shit. He just was ordering everyone else around.
Hi, I'm Gary Lineker. This is the Dean Windass Hall of Fame. Can there be such a thing?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. And this time we have a football team going in who go by the name of FC Start. Now, you might not have heard of them, but they were one of the teams that participated in the infamous death match. Which happened in World War Two.
With the Nazis.
That's right, yeah. But let me give you a bit of background before we get on to that. You have to go back to kind of 1930s Soviet Union, and football was becoming very, very popular indeed, and particularly in Ukraine. And their strongest team was Dynamo Kiev. which of course we've all heard of now. But in 1941, the season was interrupted as the Germans invaded. So a lot of the Dynamo Kiev players and all the other football teams, they all got split up, of course, because they went off to fight. Some stayed behind in the civil defence in the city. And some, of course, were taken as prisoners of war and all sorts of things.
All sorts of nasty things like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So a little time later, the goalkeeper of Dynamo Kiev, Mykola Truzovic, when he returned to the city after being in the Soviet or the Red Army, he got a job at Bakery Number 3, which was owned by a guy who was a big fan of Kiev. And part of the reason why he gave him the job there was because he knew he was the keeper. So
does sound like a trendy Hoxton bar.
Yeah,
Bakery Number 3. It doesn't sound like a war-torn city.
That Frank Lampard would go to.
Yeah. but of course, it was very different at that. So, the goalkeeper Truzovic went about the city because he thought, well, let's get a team together, and so he went around and see how many of his old teammates he could find, and they hadn't been taken as prisoners of war and were knocking about, so to speak. They managed to form a team together, and they called themselves FC Start. And there was 8 players from Dynamo Kiev, and there was a few from another local team called Lokomotiv Kiev. And they played their first game in 1942, summer of 1942. They played their first game, and they played their first game was against Hungarian garrison. They won 7-2. They played against a Romanian garrison. They won 11-0. They played against a military railroad workers team. They won 9-1.
They're decent.
They played another German side 6-0, Hungarian side 5-1, 3-2. And they played Flakelf, who were a German Luftwaffe team, and they won 5-1. Now, bearing in mind, all these guys were seriously malnourished.
Yeah, it's just incredible.
They're playing against army teams. They're probably well-fed and well...
Well, absolutely, yeah.
As we saw in the last profile as well, like when you look at the Hungarian army sides were actually...
They were
pretty
decent.
Man.
Absolutely. So they started wiping the floor of all these teams. And suddenly the city is kind of... They were almost like a little beacon of hope in the city. It was kind of like, my goodness, some of our boys are kicking the crap out of the local occupying troops, you know?
Yeah.
So it was quite amazing. And the sheer gall to turn up and beat and hammer the troops that are occupying you and holding you at gunpoint, you know?
Brilliant.
It's just incredible, you know?
It's a hell of a Super Sunday.
It is, yeah. And so the Nazis grew aware of FC Start's victories and thought, oh, my goodness, we're getting hammered.
We can't have this.
They can't have this.
9!
Exactly. And it was... They did get 9 in one game, James.
Right. So, oh, good.
Thank you. And so the German Luftwaffe team, Flakelf, they said, right, we're going to give you a rematch and we're going to get this sorted. And so they previously beat this side 5-1, but that was kind of, you know, brushed under the carpet. Yeah. They thought, well, we don't want that getting out, you know, so we'll do them and then that'll be the end of them. So... they played them at Zenit Stadium, which is in Kiev, not to be confused with Zenit St. Petersburg, of course. So Zenit Stadium, which is in Kiev. And there you had, once again, you can't stress enough, the German Luftwaffe team, these big, you know, well-fed, very fit soldiers and probably decent players, as you say, James, because these military sides, they knew what they were doing, against, you know, these malnourished guys who worked at a baker's, you know, previously of Dynamo Kiev players and other teams. So it was hugely hyped in the media, and posters were all around the city, and it was and like they had local fans there, people from Kiev watching the game. It was huge. There's reports of the referee being a little bit dodgy, but apparently the referee said before the game, "I am the referee of today's game. I know you were a very good team. Please follow the rules. Do not break any of them, and greet your opponents in our fashion."
Oh, so that's
what he said to the FC Start. He said that to the FC Start players. Yeah,
they must have been told that it's in their interest to lose the game.
Well, yeah. I think so. Yes, I don't think you see. There's a lot of myth that's around this death match. I think some people think that they were dragged off in their kits and killed and all that. That didn't happen. A lot of the myth has been kind of mixed up with the truth. But certainly, yes, it would have been in their interest to lose this game, because here you have a big game against the occupying forces, against, you know, the local guys.
Yeah.
And the local guys, you know, this is all propaganda stuff.
We're in front of loads of people as well. So.
Exactly. And this is all propaganda stuff, you know. I mean, people don't like to lose a football match in this day and age, you know, let alone when this kind of stuff. So of course the German team did the Nazi salute and the Heil Hitler shouts. And the FC Start players were told to respond and do the same thing, but they didn't. They did their Soviet slogan, which was kind of, it doesn't really translate so much, but it's kind of like a celebration of physical culture.
Yeah, physical strength.
The robot.
Yeah. Sorry?
Yeah. It's the robot.
Right, yeah, exactly.
That's a pretty brave move. You've got to give them credit.
Well, because even the England players in 1937, when they went to Berlin and beat them, they did the Nazi salute. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, again, the shows their kind of bravery, whatever you might want to call it. So, anyway, the game kicked off, and as you can imagine, it was quite a physical game. The German guys went a goal up, but the equalising goal, apparently, it's described as a stunning set piece from ridiculously far out. It was just hammered in from a free kick, which sent the home crowd into raptures. And then apparently they have a very talented winger called Goncharenko, and he just roasted the whole of the Flak Elf defence and tapped in, and then a third happened, and the Ukrainians were loving this. Yeah, they were absolutely loving it at half-time. Because it complete escapism. Yeah, from the situation, you know.
Here real were, defiance.
Well, absolutely it is, absolutely it is. Again, it's suggested that FC Start had a little unwanted visitor at half-time, suggesting that,
Hitler.
No, apparently he couldn't make it. But, again, it was kind of suggesting that it might be within their interest not to win. But it didn't happen. They ended up winning 5-3, that did FC Start. So both sides scored twice again in the second half. And towards the end of the match, Klimenko, who was one of their defenders, he roasted like half their team, and he rounded the German goalkeeper, and this was right at the end of the game, and instead of just tapping it over the line for the goal, he didn't even score, he just booted the ball up the other end.
That's amazing. They're actually taking the piss.
That is brilliant. Imagine that, doing you've got the Nazis around.
Can you imagine that in any game?
Well, in any game, especially when, you know, you could be in real trouble for doing that kind of thing.
It pees on the Iranian armbands, I guess. And they're in serious trouble.
Absolutely. But apparently at the end of the game, it was actually, there was handshakes, and they had a photograph together, both sides. I don't think it was as ill-fated as perhaps.
But I would argue that the other team, that the Nazi German team, probably wouldn't being the ones cheerleading for them to be shot for doing
that. Well, no,
it would be the big decision makers, wouldn't it?
I wouldn't have thought so. But I think the photograph is on Andy Dugan's book, Defending the Honour of Kiev, which is all about this.
That's further reading, isn't
it? That is further reading, and that is my book of the week.
Yeah.
So that'll tell you a lot more in detail. But the team became a real beacon of hope for the city, and a week later, they beat another one of the military sides, 8-0. So all in all, they played 9, they won 9, they scored 58, and they conceded 10, I believe, is their record. I mean, not bad.
That's not amazing. Bad at all.
You know, 100% record, which is absolutely incredible. Now, again, the myth, what happened to the players after that, it's not entirely sure. Some kind of guys will tell you that some people will say that the Gestapo turned up at the bakery and had a list of names and was like, right, you're coming with us. I think more likely was just the way that the ghastly regime was, that they just happened to get sent to labour camps and all that sort of horrible business.
It's just unimaginable.
Oh, completely. And a few of the guys died in these labour camps, but a few did manage to return to Kiev.
The last one didn't die until sort of relatively recently.
96, I think, guy died. But a few of them did survive. And then Kiev was recaptured by the Red Army in 1943. But unfortunately, though, again, so their guys are back in, but they regarded the FC Start players as collaborators for having played against the Germans.
So they can't win.
So
they can't win, and they have.
Well, they won on the pitch, but outside the pitch, you know, and their stories were exploited to suit the ideological needs of the Soviets. So you've got one ghastly regime taken over from another.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But fortunately, the death match and the FC Start came to public attention in 1958 in the Evening Kiev newspaper. And that's when the story started to come out, you know, of FC Start and its struggle against the Nazi occupiers. And the story became widely popular in the Soviet Union, especially in Ukraine. And it was quite romanticised. And these guys were real kind of heroes, you know.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of films that were made called Third Time and The Match of Death. And a sculpture has been put up in the stadium in Kiev, which was called Zenit Stadium, but now it has been renamed to Start Stadium. That was in 1981. So the stadium is named after them, which is absolutely fantastic. And the romance of this story was not lost on Hollywood, gentlemen, you'll be pleased to know. Because, you might not know this, but this story was the inspiration for a little film called Escape to Victory.
I did not know that.
There you go.
Thought you were going to say goal. Oh. When Saturday comes.
Yeah, Sean Bean, yeah.
Goal
yeah.
two.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Don't be silly.
Mike Bassett, England manager.
Abstract.
I yeah. said Hollywood, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, true. That's amazing. So they just turned it around and made it Allied soldiers instead of...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Sylvester Stallone in goal.
Yeah. Look at the ball.
But, yeah, so that is a very sort of a brief look well, at the story of FC Start.
If any team... or individual or anything deserves to be in the Dean Winners Hall of Fame yeah. more.
On bravery.
I'd like to know about it.
Very, very worthy
entrant. On footballing talent, on bravery, on sheer goal, the lot.
In you come.
In they come. FC Start. Come on.
Welcome.
We give you a salute.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble for this time. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you want to get in touch, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com. We have a myspace.com/footballramble. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and we have our website, of course, which is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Lukey.
See you later.
We're all off fly tipping. Cheers.
Remind this fella, don't catch my wages.
Don't catch my wages.
Don't catch my wages.
Don't catch my wages. Don't.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.